this a lot. Am I on? I'm not on. Let me see if the green light's on. I got a green light. That doesn't mean anything, does it? All right. There. There. I love the echo voice. I like that, man. Good. I know I say this a lot, but I do want to say it again. Thank you, worship team, just for the time you guys put into thinking these out and helping our hearts connect. I hope everyone's having a great day today. I know there are a lot of plans and parties for tonight. If you're visiting with us, this church is neutral in Super Bowl rooting. Publicly, we will not acknowledge any support at all. But the chief reason we're here is, if you'll turn with me to John, the first chapter. No. There's a reason the Gospel of John doesn't have 49 chapters, all right? John 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. John is trying to tell you and me something here. Last week we talked about him trying to talk about life and what life really is. It's more than just existence. We went into the different facets and how Jesus brings that to us. Well, he wants to share something else again, and that is that in Jesus was life, and that life was the light of men and women. Now, John's not saying this theoretically or philosophically. He's trying to talk to each one of us individually. Remember we talked about last week? The writers did not be inspired to write these things down by just all of a sudden this magic bing, and they did it. They experienced what they wrote. They're trying to tell you as a fellow human being, you too can experience this. You too can be transformed. And that's the theme of our first 2 months here, taking these themes out of John's experience, out of God's truth to you, that you and I can experience transformation in our lives. You know, about 150 years ago, a famous event took place in the state of Texas called the Alamo. And in that was really the thing that brought the idea of Texas independence from Mexico into foreview. I mean, that was the thing. From that one battle, Sam Houston rallied all the inhabitants of Texas. They went back and they defeated Santa Anna. Texas became a republic. Soon after that, it was annexed to the United States. And if you've ever met anyone from Texas, they're pretty proud of all of that. But this thing of the Alamo, we hear this thing, you know, remember the Alamo. Well, there's a story, and it may be legendary, but the survivor, there was a woman that survived that. Santa Anna let her live and sent her back. Because when the army surrounded it, they raised the red flag. And the red flag meant there would be no mercy given, no quarter. No prisoners were going to be taken. Everyone would be killed. Didn't matter. You surrender, you're going to die. Well, it's said that William Travis, the commander there, legend has it, he took his sword and drew a line in the sand and said, everyone that's going to stay, step across this line. If you're not, you stay there, and you can leave and make your escape. And as legend has it, everybody crossed that line. Whether that was actually true or not, we don't know. We do know that the witness said he did say, whoever wants to stay, step out. And they all stepped out. You know, it's an interesting thing. In our life, we come to choices all the time. Sometimes we have a lot of choices, like going to a diner. What do I want to eat today? You go to a diner, oh my goodness, you've got 200 choices, right? But there's some things in life you got two choices. You got one way or another. There is no diner menu. And when it comes to this subject that John wants to talk to us and share with us, this is how your life can be transformed. He's going to talk about light and darkness. There is no other choice in this area. If my life is going to be transformed and experience the whole purpose that Jesus came into the world, the line is in the sand. I need to decide and choose light or darkness. As you read through the Gospel of John, you'll see him coming back to this over and over again, the light and the darkness. We read, look over in John the third chapter. He's talking just a few verses in his conversation with Nicodemus, the famous scripture. You see at all the football games. You'll probably see it in the Super Bowl. Some guy's going to hold up John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And that is true. And that will change your life. It's just that people don't read beyond that. Because you see, in verse 19, John talks about something very important about transforming our life. He says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. When I became a Christian, there was a friend of mine that drove 300 miles to come and talk to me about what I'd done. And was not there to talk to me about, hey, that's great for you. He was there to say, what in the world have you done? He could not understand it. He wanted to dissuade me from it. Because light is coming to the world, but men prefer dark. I understand that. Before I was a Christian, I made fun of everyone that was a Christian. I was cynical. I didn't care. It was a joke. But there was something in me that had to do it. I don't know what. Darkness has to do that. Hates the light because the deeds are evil. And John's talking about this because John's talking from experience just like you and me. We've been in the darkness. We know how that is. Dare we go back into it? No. Light is in the world. In him was life, and that light was the light of your life. John will expound on this theme when he writes his epistle. Look over in 1 John. Again, and like I say, you'll come to a lot of places. We will talk about later on this spring where Jesus makes the claim, I am the light of the world. And we'll deal with that. But right now, we're just going to talk about this theme for our lives. In 1 John, John's writing, again, from experience. This is what he's trying to share so that we could experience it and be transformed. Verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus' Son purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. The man who says, "I know Him," but does not do what He commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys His word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. Dear friends, I'm not writing to you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. It's the truth that's seen in Him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. John wants Sheridan and everyone here to get this truth. He wants to share about something that has happened to him and is continuing to happen. Something that all of us need. We all need light. Well, yeah, Sheridan, we all need to be with God. No, it's more practical than that. We all need light. In Jesus was life, and that life. Okay, so living His life will bring light to my life. How does light affect my life? Number one, light brings order out of chaos. Book of Genesis starts, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it says that the earth was void and without form. And the Spirit of the Lord moved across the waters. And the first thing God said was what? Let there be light. Let there be. Why did He do it? He created all the materials from nothing. And it's all there. But now He will bring order to everything that's been created. And He'll start separating it all. Let there be light. How many times is our lives, we live lives of reaction. It's chaotic. We're waiting for our life to work out our way. It never works out our way. So we get upset. We're confused. Emotions get out of whack. We have dysfunction in our relationships. It's all chaotic. We keep looking for something to go right. If only I get this. If I get this job in my life. If I do that. And look around at our marriages. Look at our families. Look at our life. Chaos. What does light do? Order. It brings the order that we were created to have. We're supposed to be part of God's creation. We're supposed to work within the whole realm of creation, but things have gone crazy. And we wait for creation to get it together. It starts with each one of us. And John said, I'm doing it. I'm experiencing it. Light is coming to my life. Order is coming. I'm learning how to have meaning. I'm learning what my purpose is. I'm learning how to treat people. I'm learning how to respond to bad things. I'm learning how to give. I'm learning how to not be afraid. I'm learning. Order is coming. Life. Secondly, light brings exposure. You know, it's kind of a rough thing when I get up first thing in the morning, go into the bathroom, turn on the light, and look in the mirror. Who needs Halloween costumes? You know what I mean? I mean, seriously, it just looks a lot better when I leave the lights off. If I get a hazy idea, I'm okay, but it gets a little shocking, that. Now, maybe this is not great shakes, but you should have seen me about 5 hours ago, all right? The light exposes so that I can do something about the situation. I see Hector back there. Hector is a master builder. Hector can build anything. He'll take your house and make it amazing. But Hector knows something that is common sense to all of us. That the stability of anything that is built is directly proportional to the quality of the goods with which it is constructed. You take termite-infested wood, and you can build a house, and it will look nice for what, a month, 2 months, whatever. It's coming down, and it's going to be awful, and it's going to be ugly. You know why? It should have been exposed that this is not good materials. Our lives are comprised of our character. And if our character is not in good shape, the stability of our lives. So what does light do? It exposes. Oh, I hate that. No, it's good. It hurts initially. Oh, man, look at me. But now you know where to start. Change always begins with knowing where to start. You cannot change if you don't know where to start. But you cannot start if it is not exposed. Light is so good for our lives. And then the third thing that light does, gives us guidance so that we know where we're going. Deb plugged a little mini vacuum cleaner in our bedroom. When I get up in the middle of the night, I've got about 18 inches between the wall and the bed, and the little vacuum cleaner is right there. Now I'm used to it, all right? Now I can kind of navigate my way, but you know what? It was a little challenging. She says, I'm going to get this 65-year-old boy more nimble than he's ever been in his life, you know? We're going to make sure that when he leaves this world, he's leaving it in a blaze of glory, all right? He's going to be nimble here. No, she does that, but here's the point. You need light. We stumble through our lives. We don't know where we're going. We put all of our hopes. You know, your hope is something precious, isn't it? Wow, you just want to say, this is what I hope for, but man, when it's in things in this world, when it's even in people, we love each other, but we have to work things out with each other, right? We do. If we put our hope in, I always want you to treat me exactly the way I should be treated, you are in trouble. But we do that. And so our hope gets disappointed, and we get this kind of hole within us. We need guidance. I need to know where to go in my life. It's like being in the woods. I need a flashlight. I need that. And that way I don't, you know, I can jump over the snakes and the roots and all the things that could hurt. For me, poison ivy. You know, I need that. The guidance. Life without guidance is just a series of mishaps. Boom, boom, boom. In him was life, and that life was light of men and women. Give you guidance. How to live. The most basic lesson of all, but the one that people have gone off continually. So, we need order, we need exposure, and we need guidance. But then you got the darkness. And notice what it says there in verse 5. The darkness has not understood it, the light. You know, that word, not understood it, is also, you could say, has not overcome it or not extinguished it. It refers to all three. And it's kind of a nuance of how the darkness responds to the light. And it's like what we just read there in John 3. The darkness hates the light, hates being exposed. You know, you think about that. When you hide the whole time, it's tiring, isn't it? Isn't it just good just to come out? If you're trying to hide something, at least just come out with it, and you're never tired of trying to hide anymore. The stress is over. It's all out in the open. But how many times have people tried to hide things in their life So they covered up with a lie. But then you got to tell another one to cover that. Then you do this to another, and it's just like going bing, bing, bing. It's like Pac-Man or something. You're just going around. The darkness does not understand it. The darkness will try to extinguish it. The darkness tries to overcome, but cannot. All of the darkness in the world cannot extinguish the smallest flame. And the light that is in Christ cannot be extinguished by the darkness, can be extinguished by us. If we step across that line in the sand and go the way of darkness. Why is there darkness? Why do I even have to deal with that? I'm going to make you guys salivate right here. Do you know what that is? It's a glazed donut. Frank says it's a glazed donut. I say it's a vitamin, so we automatically are different. But no, it is a donut, right? A few years ago, I heard this great lecture. If you get a chance to do it, Greg Kuchel did it on evil, suffering, and the goodness of God. You know, the biggest argument that atheists have about God is, well, if God's so good, why is there evil and suffering in the world? You ought to hear his, what he does. The first two reasons that he just reasons through it is reason number one, and there's four, so we don't have time for that. But reason number one, he says, evil is something. Because he says that's the complaint that atheists have, right? If there's a good God, why is there evil? So they agree, evil is something. And Christians agree, evil is something. But the second point is funny. He goes, evil is no thing. How do you want a package of evil? I'll give you a pound. You can't do that, can you? He goes, you see what evil really is, even though we acknowledge its ontological existence, you know, which is being, big word, but we acknowledge evil exists. It's no thing. It's like this. This right here is what we call a donut hole. A donut hole is a place where there is no donut. It is a hole, a lack in the donut. Evil is a hole in goodness. It is a lack of God's goodness. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created everything was perfect. And he gave the thing that gives evil its possibility is actually a good gift. Moral freedom. And he gave man and woman moral freedom. And the minute they chose, I will be God and decide what's good for myself, now there was lack of goodness, a spot in the Garden of Eden, and things got worse. And it became more lack of goodness, lack of God's goodness, until creation is riddled with the lack of God's goodness, but still a vestige of his goodness here. But there are holes in it. What happens to us? Excuse me for doing this. For all you that understand who Pavlov's dog is, I'm sure you're having a hard time right now. But in this lack of goodness, God intended for us, like, you know, in 1 John, he's saying, if you don't love your brother, you're still in darkness. Do you realize you and I were created to love each other completely, completely respect and value each other? We were created to be able to communicate and have words of affirmation and value and respect. But look at our world. It's come apart. People don't do that. So they look for anything to classify my, oh, let me classify myself in race ways, in social ways, in political ways, and whatever. You know why? There's a hole in the goodness. And darkness is that hole. And the hole goes to the human soul. We've lost the ability. We don't care. We don't love. We come to God looking, hey, please forgive me of my sins in the end. that won't happen unless we let Him plug the holes, folks. Unless we let Him put His goodness, not Sheridan's goodness. My goodness is very fluctuating. Unless we let Him put His goodness. In Jesus was life, and that light was the plug of the hole. That's the one to forgive us of our sins, cleanse it out, but then teach us how to live. Okay, sounds simple. Why in the world don't we just jump on it? You know why? We've changed the definition of goodness. We've come up with our own definition of goodness and bad. I think that this is good. I think this is bad. Look over. John again writes in the book of Revelation, in chapter 21, he talks about where everything is going. Jesus comes into the world. In Him is life, and that life is the light of you and me and John and Peter and Paul and Mary and everybody. And in this book that is an apocalyptic literature using vivid symbols to express a truth, he talks about what's coming. And in verse, I tell you what, I'm going to start in verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." We'll keep reading in a second, but keep in mind, what's coming is unhindered, unchallenged connection with God. Right now, God is with us. We're in this world, but we are tempted. We are buffeted. The darkness is still trying to get us and go against us. The darkness hates the light. So the temptations come, the people's attitude, everything. But He goes, there's going to come. There'll be no more crying or tears. Old order, it's coming. But look what He says. Verse 5, He who is seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then He said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all of this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Darkness is always going to navigate and attack the light. What we end up doing to try and soothe our kind is we change the definition of goodness. We read this list. When it says the cowardly, it's not talking about the fearful. We're all afraid. It's talking about people that let fear keep them from doing what God has said. There's no excuse for peer pressure, what other people think when it comes to keeping us from God. I'm afraid of what people think. I don't like conflict. But I can't use that as an excuse. The unbelieving, coming, going through, taking a cracker, some juice, things like that, really don't believe it. Because if I really believe that in him was life, and that life was light of Sheridan Wright, my life would show that. The idolater, how is your job? What would it take? How has your job affected your relationship to God? Oh, I got a great relationship to God. Really? Really? Who says that? There are times I've told Deb, I have a great relationship with you. She didn't feel it. She didn't feel it. But, you know, if I'm going to change the definition, my relationship with you is good. All right? You know, this whole postmodern thing, there is no good. It all changes. There's one judge of mankind. And that judge will be the same standard for all mankind. Oh, it'll be compassion. It'll be understanding. But there is a standard. There is a light and there's a darkness. Idolatry. Has our jobs affect our relationship to God, our marriage, our kids? Well, it's good. Not if it's affected there. And the two things here, sexually immoral, and this is a big one in our society. Big one. My sexuality is my own business. That's a true statement. It is. God will approve of anything I do with my sexuality. That's not a true statement. You got light, you got darkness. Well, I love that. I want to make love. Well, do what you wanted, but don't call it light. Do not call it light because there's a hole in the donut. There's a hole in your soul. God had planned something about that. I can call it light. You can call anything you want. People call genocide good. There are people that have called genocide. You know why? Because they hate those people. And if you can just get rid of all those people, we got a good world. Oh, my goodness. We keep calling things. So when it comes to immorality, when it comes to, pornography, it doesn't really hurt anyone. That's a darkness, darkness. When it comes to fantasizing, darkness. Well, you know what? I didn't do anything. Oh, my God. But where's your mind? What did Jesus say? That's all, you know. He came. People keep messing up in relationships. Why don't we just do relationships His way? His way. All liars. All liars. Here's a story. This is an old story. Years ago, I heard it. A counselor, a little boy who lied a lot, comes to see the counselor. The counselor asks him a question, trying to help him. Would you tell a lie for $20? The boy goes, yeah, I'd do that. He goes, would you tell a lie for $0? Boy goes, are you kidding? What do you think I am? Counselor says, I know what you are. I'm just trying to find your price. The boy was a liar. He was a liar. Oh, this is a white lie. No, it's a liar. Oh, this is a half-truth. So what's the other half? The other half is a hole in the truth. Right? It's a lie. We look at each other. Do we speak truth to each other? Do we care about speaking truth? Here's the thing, guys. None of us walks on water. But all of us better be walking after the Master. Because He's the only one who can give us the light to understand. You know what? Lying is a beautiful way to get out of stuff temporarily. It always comes back. You can change the definitions, you can change the words, but the standard will always be Jesus. And He has a final say on what is good and what isn't, what is light and what is dark. John wrote all of this not because he didn't want to sin. John was just like you and me. There are opportunities. Yeah, let's do it. He wrote it because God had changed him. He experienced it. He has no interest in telling people to do something that's impossible or is just going to, you know, mess their life up. He thinks this actually will fulfill your life, will fill the hole in your soul left by evil and darkness. He believes that. And you know what all you have to do? Well, I have to listen to Jesus. Yeah, you do. But you get to do something more important than that. You and I get to follow him. As a kid growing up, my parents would take me to church every now and then. I think I heard Jesus say, "Follow me." I had no idea what that meant, and I had no interest in what it meant. Okay? The longer I'm a Christian, the more I deeply, deeply am grateful that he said that. I'm grateful he isn't sitting far removed going, "Sheridan, do that. Don't do that. Do this. Don't do this. Don't." No, "Sheridan, follow me. I've come into this world. I am still in this world. I live in you. Follow me." There is a hole in the world, a lack of God's goodness. There's been a hole in your soul, a lack of God's goodness. In relationship to him, in relationship to brothers and sisters in Christ, in relationship to those outside of Christ, there's been a hole. And I'm not just going to tell you what to do and tell you what not to do. I'm just going to say, follow me. Follow me. Read, fellowship. What does it mean to treat people like Jesus? What does it mean to have values like Jesus? What does it mean to speak truth like Jesus? What is it? That's what my life is about now. What does that mean? And getting input and help and studying. Because you see, he is a light, a lamp unto my feet. He is the Word of God. I want to ask the singers, if you guys would, be making your way up on the stage here. And as we get ready to close, I want you, in your own heart, to think, have I been transformed? Is God's goodness filling the hole that darkness has left in my soul? Jesus came in the world to give us life. No matter where we are, we can get that. No matter what we've done in the past, we can get that. The invitation is always there. The Laodicean church, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He's always knocking. He's always saying, "Come on, come on, let's do it." We're the ones that have to open our heart to it. We're the ones that have to get honest. We're the ones that, look, I want order, I want exposure, and I want guidance. And I know that that comes from the Creator of the universe, via the one through whom he created and the one that lives in me that says, follow me. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for your love. Most of all, we're grateful that you have never quit on us. You have sent Jesus here. And Father, I think about times in my own life when I was far less than who I should have been. And yet that offer to confess, to repent, is there, and the past is past. God, I pray that I can be more sensitive than ever to the light. I pray that all of us can be. That, Father, we won't change the definitions, but we will seek following you with a renewed interest, renewed fervor, renewed passion. And Father, I know that your strength will make up for any weakness that's there. Thank you for everyone that's here, God. Help us to truly reflect what it means to live a godly life in a world that needs redemption. We love you, we thank you, and we pray this in Jesus' name.